January 2004. She had good reasons to cancel her appointments on the morning of January 19th with the neuropsychologist and Dr. Davis. Harvard's exam week for the fall semester fell in January, after the students returned from winter break, and the final exam for Alice's cognition class was scheduled for that morning. Her attendance wasn't crucial, but she liked the sense of closure that being there provided, of seeing her students through the course from start to finish. With some reluctance, she arranged for a teaching fellow to proctor the exam. The bigger good reason was that her mother and sister had died on January 19th, 32 years ago. She didn't consider herself superstitious like John, but she'd never received good news on that day. She'd asked the receptionist for another date, but it was either then or 4 weeks from then. So she took it and she didn't cancel. The idea of waiting another month was that unappealing. She imagined her students back at Harvard, nervous about what questions they would be asked, hurrying a semester's worth of knowledge onto the pages of their blue exam books, hoping their heavily crammed short-term memories wouldn't fail them. She understood exactly how they felt. Most of the neuropsychological tests administered to her that morning, Stroop, Raven's colored progressive matrices, Luria mental rotation, Boston naming, Wace R picture arrangement, Benton visual retention, NYU story recall, were familiar to her. They were designed to tease out any subtle weakness in the integrity of language fluency, recent memory, and reasoning processes. She had, in fact, taken many of them before, serving as a negative control in the cognition studies of various graduate students. But today she wasn't a control. She was the subject being tested. The copying, recalling, arranging, and naming took almost 2 hours to complete. Like the students she imagined, she felt relieved to be done and fairly confident in her performance. Escorted by the neuropsychologist, Alice entered Dr. Davis's office and sat in one of the two chairs arranged side by side, facing him. He acknowledged the empty chair next to her with a disappointed sigh. Even before he spoke, she knew she was in trouble. "Alice, didn't we talk about you coming here with someone last time?" "We did." "Okay, it's a requirement of this unit that every patient comes in with someone who knows them. I won't be able to treat you properly unless I have an accurate picture of what's going on, and I can't be sure I have that information without this person present. Next time, Alice, no excuses. Do you agree to this?" "Yes." "Next time." Any solid relief and confidence generated from her self-evaluated competence in the neuropsychological exams evaporated. "I have the results of all of your tests now, so we can go over everything. I don't see anything abnormal in your MRI. No cerebral vascular disease, no evidence of any small, silent strokes, no hydrocephalus or masses. Everything there looks fine. And your blood work and lumbar puncture all came back negative as well. I was as aggressive here as we can be and looked for every condition that could sensibly account for the kinds of symptoms you're experiencing. So we know you don't have HIV, cancer, a vitamin deficiency, mitochondrial disease, or a number of other rare conditions." His speech was well constructed, obviously not his first delivery of its kind. The "what she did have" would come at the end. She nodded, letting him know that she followed him and that he should continue.